7 years after taking up arms to fight for Indian rights, the Zapatista rebels from the southern Mexican state of Chiapas arrive in Mexico City today. During their two-week trek to Mexico's capital, the Zapatistas' masked leader, Subcommander Marcos, has roused crowds with his demands for justice. His identity is not known, though it's widely believed he's a former academic who disappeared years ago. Should peace eventually be reached, Marcos may have to transform himself again to continue his social crusade. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from Mexico City.
Subcommander Marcos is nothing if not a master orator. His words seem to reach all levels of society. Tuesday, in the city of Cuernavaca, an hour south of Mexico City, he lit up a crowd of thousands with a fictitious letter from the late revolutionary leader Emiliano Zapata. The missive's crass conclusion brought supporters to their feet. "I leave you all in charge of watching after the Zapatistas on their march," he read, "because there are a lot of bastards out there who still want to cause harm to the people." That same day, in the neighboring village of Tepoztlan, the masked leader took a dramatic turn for the poetic, addressing throngs of mostly non-Indians and foreign observers. He told them that Marcos has never existed, is empty behind the black mask, a mere window into a world of suffering people.
"Con una adecuada iluminación, un marco de una ventana se convierte en un espejo."
A window becomes a mirror with enough light, he said, "and I'm sure if you look close enough at this mirror, you will see yourselves. This is what we want. We are you," he said. "I am you." Marcos and the Zapatistas have come to the capital to lobby the government for more autonomy and for constitutional recognition of their cultures. In 1995, the government of Ernesto Cedillo alleged the man behind the Marcos mask was Sebastián Guillén, a middle-class professor from Mexico City's Autonomous Metropolitan University. As the rebels began to garner world attention, Cedillo sought to discredit Marcos, labeling him a non-Indian Marxist who'd cut out for the jungle to test his dangerous theories on social change. Amherst College Spanish professor Ilan Stavans studied in Mexico City in the early 1980s and remembers Guillén.
"He was one of the teachers, and I never took a class with him, but I came across him in the cafeteria and on the hallways and remember him as one of many that were active and vocal."
Guillén comes from a generation of leftist intellectuals deeply affected by a government crackdown on a student democracy movement in 1968 in which hundreds were killed. Arriving in the jungle, he had to adjust his Marxist views, incorporating indigenous ideas on autonomy and leadership through consensus. By the time of the uprising in 1994, the Cold War had ended. Marcos, says Stavans, had changed with the times, setting his sights on growing economic globalization as an enemy of the poor.
"On the other hand, he uses the internet, uses a sense of his own persona through the media that could only be possible through this sense of globalization that we have. So I think he's a very provocative revolutionary that has literally revamped the whole tradition of the guerrilla in Latin America."
Over the next week, the Zapatistas will sit down with a government peace commission to discuss their demands. If a deal is eventually struck, many wonder what will become of the masked Marcos. Luis Navarro is editorial chief of the daily newspaper La Jornada. He says Marcos and the Zapatistas must transform themselves from a guerrilla band into a legitimate political force, though he says they'll likely stop short of forming a traditional political party.
"They want to be a civic force that can push the ruling class in order to have transparency and also give visibility to those people that have no access to the media."
On Sunday, the Zapatistas are expected to draw hundreds of thousands of people to Mexico City's Zócalo, or Central Plaza, for their biggest rally yet. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Mexico City.